Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the NFL Draft Triple Take presented by UPMC. Mike Pursuta, along with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson. We had so much fun taking you through the draft possibilities position by position that we're doing it again, position by position. Not as comprehensive a look as our first go around, but here in round two, we thought it'd be a good idea just to kind of double check, see what was going on in the pro days and what we're hearing on the street and elsewhere. And what nuggets we've been able to glean since we did that first go around as we get ever closer to that NFL draft. We're going to talk about tight ends in this edition. Before we do that, I need to tell you that all of this content is shared on Steelers.com, the Steelers mobile app, and the Steelers official YouTube page. You can catch the audio on the Triple Take podcast and on Steelers Nation Radio. And if you want to subscribe to that Triple Take podcast, you can do that wherever you download your favorite on-demand audio content. Dale, tight end, an interesting position. And I'll be honest, it didn't blow me away on the first go around, but feel a little bit better about it now, at least in terms of second and third day options. Obviously, Kyle Pitts of Florida is a position unto himself, a country unto himself, an entity unto himself. But there's a little bit more maybe a tight end than initially met the eye.
Yeah, it just depends on what you're looking for. But I think if you dig deeper into this draft, there are some guys that, blocking tight ends, if you're looking for some of those. I mean, one of the guys that I saw that kind of I went back after seeing how big he was and went back and watched some tape is Dylan Soner out of Iowa State, 6'7", 272. But he ran a 4.78 40 at the Cyclones Pro Day. 6'7", 272 at the tight end position. If he doesn't work out at tight end, you tell him to gain 20 pounds and, hey, we're going to kick you outside to tackle. He's athletic enough to do that. So there's some.
He's certainly not a guy that's going to call for the ball. He said, I'm a dirty work guy. Whenever the coach needs somebody to do a job, who's going to do this job? Hey, that's me. He's more than happy to be an anonymous blocking guy, and hey, you can get up a nice career
around for a long time in the league. Yeah. If you can do that and make that work, you can play in the league for 10 years. I thought the most interesting thing to me was the fact that Pat Freiermuth out of Penn State was actually able to get on the field and do some drills. He didn't run or test or anything like that, but at least he's on track to potentially, whatever team drafts him, perhaps be ready for a mini camp. And definitely be ready for training camp. That was a question mark with him after having back surgery during the season last year.
Matt, as we've done these position by position analyses, I've noticed that you continue to circle around the town of Ann Arbor in the great state of Michigan. you're doing it again at tight end. So why don't you sell me on Nick Eubanks?
Yeah, your Spartan background might like the tone of this one. I'm not sure Eubanks was used to his fullest extent at Ann Arbor. I mean, this guy ran under a 4.6, really good agility drills, strong hands, long arms, obvious athletic traits, and they lined him in line over and over and again. And he did fine blocking and he did fine in that role. But if you detach him a little bit and really use his strengths, I think he might be a better pro than he was, for the Wolverines.
You know, I would not be one to ever question how a Michigan coach would use a Michigan player, but you as a scout, if you're saying maybe this guy was misused, I'm going to have to take that under consideration. I'll tell you a guy who got my attention, and, sometimes you got to be in the right place at the right time, but I don't know if you heard of this quarterback from BYU, Zach Wilson. The whole world seemingly descended on the BYU pro day to check this guy out, and one of the guys he was throwing to was a tight end by the name of Matt Bushman, who's a real outside-the-box kind of candidate. He wanted to play this year, but he suffered an ACL right before the season, so he had no 2020. Now, the pro day at least gave him a chance to prove that he's healthy again. And, oh, by the way, everybody was there to see it. In the 3 years prior at BYU, he had really established himself as an offensive kind of tight end. Great hands. He can flex out. He can line up in line. Not the greatest of blockers, but willing. The interesting thing about him, he is from BYU. He's been on a Mormon mission. He's 25 years of age and married. So, Matt, put the old scout hat back on. Is that too old to be a prospect, or is that, hey, mature, settled guy, we can count on what we see is what we're going to get?
Probably a little bit of both. I mean, at that position, Dale and I talk about this on the drive all the time. Studies will show you that tight ends don't really hit their stride till they're about 27 years old. And I think some of that's just growing into their long frame, and some of that as well as, you know, it's a difficult position to transition to. So maybe he's a little ahead of that curve physically. And you do like hearing, you know, he's a mature dude. He's got a family, you know, you can probably trust him a little more.
Dale, tell us about Tommy Trimble.
Yeah, this is a guy that, you know, I didn't put him on my top five list when we were going into that. And the more I've studied him, I think, if we redid that right now, I think he would be, you know, either four or five on my list among tight ends. He's been the number two tight end at Notre Dame, but you want to talk about a guy who can block. He does so well on the move. He's not the biggest guy. He's 6'4", 248 pounds, but he's athletic. He's a willing blocker, and he's more of a throwback tight end. All these guys coming out, a lot of the top guys are just bulked up wide receivers. This guy's a true tight end. And we've seen, you know, over the years, the Notre Dame tight ends come in and play pretty well over the years. So why not? Just because he wasn't a starter there because they've had some other good tight ends doesn't mean he can't be a guy that comes in and plays well for you. I like a lot of what I see with him with the blocking.
Dale, I highlighted him too for this exercise because I didn't have him in my top five last time either. And some of these prospects, the more you watch them, sometimes I just look at him and say, I want to play with that guy. I don't want to play against him. And he was like the poster boy for that. He's really explosive, can use him in a lot of ways, loves the game, put him in motion and have him crack back on defensive ends. He'll do it all. I just wanted to bring him up too. I think he's an impressive guy.
One other guy I wanted to mention, and this is kind of a just because, but Scooter Harrington from Stanford. Now, what's so special about him? Maybe just that he's a tight end from Stanford, because if you look at the opening day rosters last year, there was Austin Hooper in Cleveland. There was Dalton Schultz in Dallas, Caden Smith and Levine Toaiolo with the New York Football Giants, Zach Ertz with the Philadelphia Eagles, and Colby Parkinson, Seattle. There has been a Stanford tight end on an NFL opening day roster for 9 straight seasons. Among other things, it's tight end you. And Matt, I know they're all smart guys, so they got that going for them going in. Maybe that's how they, get their foot in the door. But Harrington, 6'5", and I'm losing my height and weight here. He's a big kid. Maybe he keeps the tradition going, kind of like the Notre Dame tackle and, anybody who plays any position at Alabama.
I hear what you're saying, Mike, and I think you can fall into a rut, scouting the helmet. But in this case, Ertz helps you recruit the next guy and guys want to go there because there's a track record. You bring in better guys. You know how to mold them. I don't know who Stanford's tight end coach is, but he's doing a heck of a job.
I think it's Mike Ditka.
It doesn't hurt to be smart at this position either.
Yeah, that's a good point. To me, the tight end position is very much – this is why you see a lot of quarterbacks transition to be tight ends if they can't play quarterback. Because I think, you have to be able to read on the fly. You're in the middle of the defense. You have to be able to read the defense a little bit more. So I think this is an above the neck position as much so as most, almost that, more so than any other position other than quarterback on offense.
Yeah, it's funny because that kind of
5'250" is the height and weight on Harrington. I finally found it, and he didn't light it up or anything. He doesn't have a glittering, glowing resume, and didn't do anything especially outstanding in the drills. But hey, there's a track record there. Like again, just like left tackle at Notre Dame, and they used to call Penn State linebacker U, and various schools are getting reputations. I love that phrase you came up with, Matt. Would you say you don't recruit the helmet? You don't draft the helmet?
Right. Don't scout the helmet. Right.
Scout the helmet. That's outstanding.
Dale, you mentioned, you know, quarterbacks turn tight end. My last guy is Tony Poljan from Virginia. Your first guy you brought up was a big body dude. This guy's a quarterback that turned tight end, smart, understands positioning, knows what his quarterback's looking at, 6'7", 265, ran pretty well. Just wanted to bring him up, too, because it seems like these big blocking tight ends that, you know, kind of shield out the sun are a dying breed, but there's still a place for them.
You know, I meant to say a couple of years ago that I thought when Logan Mankins was coming out of Virginia Tech, he'd be an outstanding tight end. But I didn't get around to it. So just to your point about quarterbacks, keep that in mind. Dale, closing thoughts on the position?
Yeah, as you mentioned in the lead-in, Mike, I think it's a little bit deeper than what we thought in terms of overall. I don't know if there's any true stars other than Pitts in this group. And maybe Freiermuth turns into that. But man, there's guys that are going to
be amazing. Is he not? I went back and watched a little more of him just because it's fun.
Yeah. And he blocks. That's a crazy thing. I mean, he's a big dude who can run, but he also blocks. And I think, you know, that goes a long way. But there'll be, you know, wouldn't surprise me if there's 15 to 20 guys out of this tight end class who are on opening day rosters this year. And for a position that you looked at initially and said, well, this isn't the greatest position in this draft, that's not so bad.
How about this little Pitts nugget before we go? You mentioned about him blocking. His high school, it went to school right outside Philadelphia. They ran the ball every snap. They would throw the ball 3, 4, 5 times a game. All he did was block, and they had that guy. I mean, how crazy?
What high school was that?
I don't know off the top of my head. I forget. It's right outside Philly, though.
Yeah, I went to high school right outside of Philly, a place called Abington. And we never had a tight end like Kyle Pitts. That's going to do it for this edition of the NFL Draft Triple Take. I want to remind you before we get out of here that you can catch all this stuff on Steelers.com, the Steelers mobile app, and the Steelers official YouTube page. The audio can be heard on the Triple Take podcast and Steelers Nation Radio. To subscribe to the Triple Take podcast, you can just download that wherever your favorite on-demand audio content is available. We will be coming back at you soon with another further review of a position group or three as we get ready for the NFL draft. Until then, for Matt Williamson and Dale Lawley, I'm Mike Pursuta. You've been listening to the NFL Draft Triple Take presented by UPMC.